This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Five Star Zone with Rico Beard.
Welcome to another edition of The Five Star Zone. I'm your host, Rico Beard. Joining me, Harold Shelton III, Senior Research Manager from the Big Ten Network. And occasionally, if you're driving around, you can hear his voice on BTN Radio as I saw his name pop up on my screen. Harold, thank you so much for joining us, little people.
Nah, you're definitely not little people, man. I definitely appreciate you having me on every week. It's been a blast.
All right, Harold, let's just jump right into the marquee matchup for the Big Ten. Ohio State hosting Indiana. Both teams are in the college football playoff picture, but Indiana coming off the bye, they struggled against Michigan. This wasn't the blowout game that everybody thought it was going to be. They played, you know, a tougher opponent, and right now the Michigan game is their biggest victory. Indiana has something to prove, and I think Ohio State has something to prove as well as, hey, you know what? We want the rematch against Oregon in the Big Ten championship game. What can you tell me about this upcoming game in Columbus?
Yeah, so I think I was all in on the Indiana train. I was all aboard. And through the first half of the Michigan game, it's 17-3, and it looks like it's going to be another double-digit Indiana win. And then that second half happened, and it seemed like Michigan's defensive line was all over Indiana's offensive line. They couldn't block those guys. Rourke couldn't get time. You know, they only had 18 yards in the second half. Now, credit Indiana's defense. They were able to do enough to keep Michigan out of the end zone, held them to a bunch of field goals, you know, got a turnover on downs late. But I'm wondering, even though I think Michigan's defensive line is better than Ohio State's, I still have some pause there. I just wonder, can they block all of those dudes up front? Now, I don't think Ohio State's defensive line is as dynamic as Michigan's in terms of Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant and Josiah Stewart, but they've got very experienced dudes, and they got a lot of them. And so while they might not be as dynamic, they might be, you know, deeper, and they have a tendency to just lean on you and lean on you and lean on you and wear you down as the game goes along. So I'm concerned if I'm Indiana. I know they had an injury up front in that Michigan game, which is the first one they've had on the offensive line all year. I think the bye came at the right time, though, so they'll have 2 weeks to try to prepare and try to fix whatever was ailing them.
I guess the biggest question, did Michigan crack the code on that Indiana offense? Because like, before then, man, they're putting up 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 points on people. They got to the second half and they struggled. I mean, it was honestly, Harold, I felt like if they had played another five more minutes, Michigan wins that game.
No, I think that's completely fair. You could definitely tell that Indiana was kind of leaking oil trying to get to the finish line. And, you know, luckily they had a 14-point lead and Michigan kept chipping away. But offensively, they just couldn't produce enough big plays to really make Indiana pay for all of the three and outs that they had. You know, again, they only had 18 yards for the whole half. And
right,
the reliable guys that we've seen, you know, Surratt drops a couple of passes. You know, we saw Miles Price leave the game with injury. We saw the running back, Justice Ellison, leave with injury, even though he came back. It was just a really, really physical game. That was the first time we've seen any team kind of take it to them physically. And you just wonder if Ohio State can do the same thing. I mean, I don't know how many teams they'll face that has an elite defensive line like Michigan did, but Ohio State's is pretty close.
Because when I was watching the game, it almost felt like this was the first time Indiana felt the bright lights and the pressure. And when you see a veteran receiver like Surratt drop not one but two catchable balls, I'm like, man, is the pressure getting to him? Is this a little bit of tight booty hole syndrome where all of a sudden, you know, maybe we not quite ready for the prime time? That's what it felt like to me, because I'm watching it and I was like, Michigan is letting them have it. And I didn't really see Michigan did what Michigan does, and they blitz and they blitz and they blitz. But it was like, you know, that old Tyson, everybody has a plan till you get punched in the mouth, and Indiana got punched in the mouth. And so I didn't know. And I say all that to say I'm gonna land the plane. Did Indiana need that Michigan game to kind of show them what big time football is about? You're no longer playing teams at the bottom of the college football world. You're going up against big boys and you're going up against brand names from here on out. You know, okay, yeah, you get the final game against Purdue, but after that, you're maybe looking at Alabama. You may be looking at Georgia in Bloomington, and they're not going to sit there and say, well, hey, I know it's your first time here. We're going to take it easy on you. When I look at the Indiana team, I mean, could the Michigan game been a blessing in disguise, or did Michigan just expose Indiana?
I think it's a little bit of both. I do think there's something to be said about having the bright lights and a team that's not used to having that kind of spotlight on them, because Saturday is going to be the biggest game they've had in 50-some-odd years. You got to go back to 67, you know, to find a time that's Indiana's played a bigger football game than this in terms of all of the national implications. And so I think, you know, facing a brand name like they did against Michigan, getting punched in the mouth like they did, being able to respond and still win the game, you know, I think there are a lot of lessons to be that they could take from that game, and a lot of things that they needed to fix. And you just wonder, you know, with 2 weeks to prepare, you know, knowing that they had some issues up front, you know, it seemed like Rourke kind of got rattled a little bit. Like, as soon as that third quarter started, he threw a pick. Once he got pressure, he seemed a little skittish. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot to clean up, and they had the extra week to do it. So you wonder if it is a bit of a blessing in disguise. Like, okay, we got punched, we bled, but we still found a way. But now we're going to face a team that's going to score more than 15 points. And so they're going to have to figure out a way to probably get in the high 20s, low 30s if they want to win this game.
It's funny, Harold. I'm talking with Harold Sheldon. You just led into my next question. How does Indiana's defense slow down the Ohio State offense? Because watching Ohio State, they don't jump out on you early, but by the end of the game, they get that train rolling, and you cannot stop it.
Yeah, similar to their defense, their offense, they just kind of lean on you after a while. And, you know, they'll run it. You know, they'll do with Judkins and Henderson, and eventually just kind of wear you down. They'll take the eventual deep shot to Smith. Sometimes it's Carnell Tate. Sometimes it's Abuka. But, you know, they have no problem just picking up yards in little chunks, and it just body blow, body blow, body blow. And then next thing you know, somebody's at the gate for 60 yards. But they've had a major injury issue this week. Their starting center will most likely miss the end of the season. Sounds like it's an Achilles. And so they've already had issues at left tackle, where two of those guys got hurt. They had to move the left guard out there to play tackle. So now you got the center hurt. You wonder what the middle of that line is going to look like. And very quietly, Indiana's got two really, really good defensive tackles. And so if they had a chance to plug up that middle, you know, kind of bounce everything outside, pressure Will Howard from the middle where you don't have to send corner blitzes and stuff like that, maybe that's a way where they can rattle them, keep them behind the chains. And, you know, we saw Nebraska do it. You know, they couldn't move the ball at all against Nebraska. You know, they pretty much had three big plays, and the rest of the game they were held in check. And so the blueprint's already out there. We've seen their offensive line get dominated before, and Indiana has the pieces up front to do that again.
I mean, high scoring game, low scoring game. What should we expect in this game?
I would think something in the 20s. I don't think it's a shootout 40-38 kind of thing, but I'd be surprised if it was a 17-14 kind of game too. So maybe it's a 24-20, 20.
I mean, because a lot of people are like, man, Ohio State's about to show Indiana football and put them to bed and just be like, okay, your season was cute, but, you know, we're Ohio State. It's going to be in Columbus. I only wish the game was at night because I think it loses some of the flavor. Noon. And look, I know Fox is really trying to make this big noon kickoff something, but I beg of you, come up with something better. Because, yeah, it's like trying to come up with that word that you're going to make something cool, and it's not cool. People just they look at you and they make fun of you. Because, yeah, I really would love to see this game under the lights.
Oh, me too. Me too. And, you know, I think it's going to be interesting. You know, we talked about Ohio State. They're used to playing in these games. They play in these games all the time. This is their third top five opponent they've already played this season. So, like, there's no, oh, you know, I wonder how they're going to react. We saw it. You know, they went toe-to-toe with Oregon, a one-point game on the road, you know, went down 10-0, you know, 110,000 people at Penn State, fought all the way back, won that game. So, you know, they'll be ready. I wonder if Indiana's ready to meet the moment. This is the biggest game that they've had in over 50 years. And, you know, we saw them get punched in the mouth against Michigan. I want to see if they can meet the moment on Saturday.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And before we get to talking about the other teams, the other games, when you look at the teams, the four Big Ten teams that currently sit in the college football playoff, is everybody ranked where you think they should be ranked? Is somebody ranked too low? Somebody ranked too high? What do you think?
So I think we're basing it a lot on the helmet because there's nothing on Penn State's resume that says that they should be higher than Indiana right now, especially since Indiana's undefeated and Penn State's got a loss. It does help that Illinois snuck back in the top 25, so now they have a ranked win, but that's the only one they have. And, you know, we've seen Penn State at times kind of not look so great, and, you know, they've figured out ways to win. And, you know, credit to them, the last 2 weeks is probably the best that they've looked all season. But, you know, if you switch the helmets of those two teams, I mean, I don't even know if Indiana's in the top five with a 9-1 record and no wins or one win against a ranked team. So I think a lot of that is just based off of, oh, it's Indiana, so we'll put them behind Penn State. Because even if you look at Texas, I think Texas, from a talent perspective, is great, but what's their best win? At Michigan? Like Oklahoma on a neutral field? At Vandy? Like, they don't have any ranked wins either. So, you know, I think Texas and Penn State are kind of benefiting from being historical programs while Indiana's being the new kid on the block trying to get attention.
Yeah, I mean, I guess beating Vandy, who beat Alabama, you know, you kind of beat Alabama de facto. You didn't beat them, but you know what I'm saying. It's
right.
Yeah, the Oklahoma game. Yeah, Oklahoma turned out not to be who we thought they were going to be. It's funny because I still say, you know, they're like, oh, no, everybody has a fair chance. And I've said it for the longest. College football is the one sport. No, everybody doesn't get a fair chance. If you're a team on the outside, you have to almost work twice as hard to get up into that inner circle. That's why I've often said I appreciate them doing the rankings in the middle of the season, but I wish they would do all the rankings in the middle of the season and kind of let everything play out that you could say, yeah, you're good, but are you really that good? Because, yeah, Penn State's best win is the loss to Ohio State. close loss to Ohio State if you really look at it that way. So
right, with no offensive touchdowns.
Right. So, all right, let's get to some of the other games. Locally, you got two teams scrambling, trying to get to bowl eligibility. Michigan is the closest one. Michigan beats Nebraska this week. They have 6 wins, and they get to go bowling. I mean, is this a dangerous spot for the Wolverines because it's a little bit of a look ahead because you have Ohio State next week? Or is it just, you know what, we got to empty out the cupboard in this game because we don't know what's going to happen next week when we go to Columbus?
Yeah, I feel like if you're a team that's 5-5 and you don't really have an offensive identity, you can't afford to look ahead. I know Northwestern has struggled, especially on offense this year. But I feel like Michigan will be ready to play, especially with the extra week to prepare. And they should be able to be fine against Northwestern. No, I feel like the Wildcats, they're just kind of a stubborn team. You know, they had a chance early against Ohio State. They took the lead early. They had another long drive before that. And then eventually the Jimmies and the Joes just kind of take over, which was the case in that Ohio State game. You know, it was close. It was 7-7. You get a punt block. Ohio State doubles up, you know, in the first half, beginning of second half. Next thing you know, it's 28-7. It's game over. I don't know if Michigan has the firepower to have the score look like that, but, you know, I still feel like that should be a comfortable win. I don't know really how Northwestern will be able to move the ball on them. And we've seen a lot of games where they've been under 300 yards of total offense. So unless Michigan just gives them the ball, I feel like Northwestern will have a hard time scoring.
So in the end, Michigan should get that 6th win, and they should be ready, getting ready to go bowling. Other team here in the state of Michigan is Michigan State. They're sitting at 4 wins. They have to win out. Now, it looks like the football guys and the Big Ten guys, looks like they handed them a gift, but I take nothing for granted with this team. You get Purdue. Friday night, Purdue at Spartan Stadium. Sweet uniform combo, by the way. I don't know if you saw it with the black helmet, black pants, and the dark green jerseys. If you're the Spartans, is this the get right game? Because Lord knows you faced the number one, the number two, the number four or five team, the number 25 team. Like, you've played a gauntlet of a schedule. This may be the first winnable game that I think that they've had since Prairie View.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. Purdue's kind of faced a similar situation just in terms of they played all the good teams too. Like, they played 5 ranked teams when you include Notre Dame. You know, they just played Penn State. They just played Ohio State. They played Oregon already. So they're certainly battle-tested too. I think the schedule hadn't done either team in this matchup any favors. But, you know, I see Michigan State's favored by around 2 touchdowns, and that seems about right. Which is kind of hard to say for a team that struggles to score 20 points, but that just kind of goes to show how much Purdue has struggled. You know, the one win was against the FCS team, and they've been really, really bad on defense. They've been, you know, we've talked about Michigan State's issues with turning the ball over. Purdue's only had 5 takeaways the whole year, so you should be able to do things on offense. You should be able to throw the ball downfield. That they give up over 52% on third down. Like, if you can't move the ball in this game, then that's a really, really big problem. There should be plays aplenty to be made. And the key is to jump on them early. Purdue's been outscored 90-10 in the first quarter. So that's a chance where you can get a lead on them early, make them play from behind. Maybe you can finally get a sack this week because it could be a situation where you know they're only passing the ball. So they should be able to win this game. The week after against Rutgers, I'm not so sure anymore the way that they've looked these last couple games.
Yeah, I always say, like, Rutgers is good Rutgers and bad Rutgers. Just like good Michigan State, bad Michigan State, good Iowa, bad Iowa, good Maryland, bad Maryland. All of those teams kind of, and I could even throw Illinois in there as well. You don't really know what you're going to get until the game happens. And then it's like, oh, we got the bad team today. Okay, we can beat them. Or, oh, boy, we in trouble. We got the good team. Because, right, I you know, if the MSU team that came out against Iowa plays Rutgers, they beat them.
Yep.
MSU team that played Illinois shows up, and they're looking at 5-7, and now you got to hope that a bunch of people turn down a bowl game that you can sneak in one of these lowly games. But if you're Jonathan Smith, I mean, what do you preach to your team? What do you tell your team this week to I guess, not, get them to not look forward to both games, but just stay focused on one?
Well, I think the thing is they've lost 6 of 7. So, you know, them losing 3 in a row, you just need to get a win. You just need to get off the snide. This is easily your most winnable game of the season outside of Prairie View A&M. Like, you need to find a way to get this done. And then once you get it done, then you can try to move forward. But the first thing is you got to snap this losing streak. I mean, they haven't felt what winning is like in a month. So you would want to get that bad taste out of your mouth, especially the way they played last week against Illinois. You could argue, you know, based on opponent, that was the worst performance they've had all season. You know, it's one thing to lose to Ohio State and Oregon and you know, even the Michigan game, you had a lead there, but they just got worn down by an Illinois team that's pretty good, but not nearly on the level of some of those top five teams that they played early in the season. And to lose by 3 touchdowns and to give up 5 sacks and not get a sack against a team that allowed 28, like they failed in a lot of areas. And so you got a chance to get right against the worst team in the Big Ten. Like, you got to take advantage of it.
All right. Now, you talked about Illinois and Rutgers. Illinois travels to Rutgers. They just got ranked again at 25th. But according to Vegas, it's pretty much a pick'em game. One point, I think, Illinois is favored by a point at Rutgers. You know, what Rutgers team are we going to see? Because it looks like Illinois kind of fixed their problems going up against Michigan State, but it was Michigan State. Or is Rutgers back to being that team they looked to be earlier in the season?
Yeah, so a lot of it depends on their quarterback play. When they were doing pretty well, you know, Ethan Calliagmanis was throwing it around and he had protected the football and he was efficient, he was accurate. Then they had that losing streak and he was turning the ball over. He was under 50%. But it seems like even though they lost that USC game, he might have found something with that receiving core because he's thrown to Demir Miller a ton over the last 3 weeks. So there's like a trio with him, Ian Strong, KJ Duff, and all of a sudden now Calliagmanis has been rolling. And so even though they got outgained by Maryland, he still played well. The receivers have had a ton of deep shots, and they do a good job of getting to the quarterback and taking the ball away. And as we saw most of the season outside of the Michigan State game, Illinois has struggled to protect their quarterback. So I think if you get good Calliagmanis and you get the pass rush that we've seen from them, you know, they completely, you know, took away Minnesota in the fourth quarter, completely dominated that game to get that upset. And, you know, Calliagmanis is 6 touchdowns, 1 pick the last 3 games. So if you get that version of Rutgers, I wouldn't be surprised if they won that game.
All right. And then some changes going to talk about Wisconsin and going to Nebraska. Some changes at Wisconsin, you know, Nebraska, Matt Rhule in year 2. I mean, this is a good old fashioned Big Ten West matchup, you know, that you would think, oh, OK, they're going to be deciding the winner of the Big Ten West going to Indy. It's not that way anymore. Which I said, the teams in the West are going to get a harsh reality once they stripped away the divisions. But what can we expect in this game?
This is the Spider-Man meme of all Spider-Man memes. Like, you have 2 teams that are 5-5. One's lost 3 in a row. One's lost 4 in a row. Both have fired their offensive coordinators. Both need a win to get bowl eligible. And the quarterbacks have been the issue for both. You know, we've seen Raiola, he started out hot, but recently he struggled. You know, Braden Locke has turned the ball over in every game he's played. This seems like this could be a battle of 2 desperate football teams, and it seems like it's one of those where, you know, is this the game where Nebraska can finally win a close one? That's been the issue, you know, going back to Scott Frost. Like, they've been the worst team in the country in one possession games, and, you know, that's continued under Matt Rhule. And for Wisconsin, you know, they're kind of going through an identity crisis right now. Like, they wanted to do with the air raid offense with Phil Longo, and clearly that hadn't worked. And they've, you know, scored 13 points or fewer in three straight games, and they're trying to just figure it out. So, you know, I think you got two teams kind of searching for their identity right now. I think a win here would be huge, especially when you consider what's next. You
know, now, what does Wisconsin take away from that almost knocking off the number one team at home?
I think from I can see it either way, because it's one of those, like, man, we had them on the ropes. We played pretty well. You know, our defense was flying around. We held Oregon to 16 points. But at the same time, that offense just – I mean, they had their final four drives, they gained 0 yards. And, like, that's – like, it's just really hard to win a game like that. And so I can see from defensively, you take, you know, a lot of solace and a lot of confidence from that. But offensively, man, like, can we get anything from our quarterback? Because, like, that's just been the issue. And it's weird because they've got pretty good receivers, you know, running back solid. But, you know, if they can't get anything from the quarterback spot, it's going to be a problem. But then again, you're playing a Nebraska team that likes to give you the ball. So maybe if you have shorter fields, you could cash in that way. And Nebraska's probably feeling the same way. It's like, oh, well, we're playing against a quarterback who only completes 50% of his throws. So he might throw us one and we could score on defense like we did against SC last week. And maybe that helps us. So, again, this is basically the exact same team. You hold up the mirror and you see each other.
All right, what's the stats you got for us for this week, man?
Yeah, I was looking through the Michigan State, the sack, the lack of sacks these last 6 weeks is absolutely mind-boggling. I mean, you got to go back to week 4 with the last time they had a sack. There's only been two teams in the country who have a lower pressure percentage than them, and everybody in the country has at least 3 sacks since Michigan State last had a sack. So, like, wow, this is where we are. This is where we are, and this is a problem. So if you can't get it against Purdue, then, like, I don't know what to say.
That's depressing. All right. Thank you, Harold. All right. He's Harold Shelton III. I'm Rico Beard. Thanks for watching the 5-Star Zone. We'll have a wrap-up later on after all the games are played. We'll see who's going bowling, who still is struggling, who's not. And we'll really break down, was Indiana legit? Or are they fugazi? We'll find that out after this weekend. But thanks for watching. We'll be back later on. You've been watching the 5-Star Zone.